نستغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله تعالى وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praying His blessings and His peace benedictions upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He said today, inshallah, as we promised last week, we'll remind ourselves about adabu majlis al-ilm. What are the manners that the Muslims must show when they go to a place to learn Islam? Last week, we discussed why are we sitting like this in the masjid. We explained that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a sunnah upon which he was regular. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a regular practice of sitting in the masjid after Salatul Subhi or after Salatul Asr with the companions, and they will be talking about Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be explaining Islam to the companions. He did that most regularly after Salatul Subhi or after Salatul Asr. And we said, because Islam obligates every Muslim to learn, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Learning, finding out about Islam, فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ, is an obligation upon every Muslim. It is mandatory for the Muslim to know about Allah. It is mandatory for the Muslim to know about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We could even be asked, what is the meaning of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Muhammad alayhi salatu, what does it mean? So Islam obligates us to know about our religion. And there is no way of life that has mandated its adherents to be so knowledge conscious like Islam. That is no religion. If you, the non-Muslims, the Christians, their religion does not mandate them to know about their religion. No mandation. No mandate. In Hinduism, in Zoroastrianism, in all the religions of the world, except Judaism, the Jews, the Jews, in their scriptures, their religion, they are obligated to know it and find out, and they were actually knowledgeable about their religion. Jews, the Yahud, they were actually knowledgeable about their religion. They knew their religion. They learned their religion. The problem with the Yahud was that they never practiced their religion. The problem with the Yahud was not to practice their religion. Not just abandoning practice out of weakness, individual weakness, but deliberately living guidance. They will be guided, they will be taught guidance, but they will choose to act opposite guidance, contrary to guidance. This was the way of the Jews. And that was why they were cursed by Allah through the mouth of their prophet. Allah says, لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَىٰ لِسَانِ دَاوُودَ وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُوهُ. Allah says, لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. Banu Israel, they were cursed. عَلَىٰ لِسَانِ دَاوُودَ وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ and Isa alayhi salam, the son of Maryam, radiyallahu anha. ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَبْ. That was because they knew the truth, but they deliberately refused it. عِسْيَان. وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. They were very, very arrogant and disobedient people on the earth. So that was why they were called مَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِ. Those upon whom Allah calls peace. Upon. But the Christians, they didn't know at all. They were ignorant people. So they are just balloon. Balloon. Astray. Misguided. They were ignorant. And that's why the scholar Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahmahullah, he says, من تعلم ولا يعلم بما علم فقد شابه اليهود. The one who learns, he learns his religion. But he will not follow what he learns, شابه اليهود. He's behaving like the Jews. مغضوب عليه. نسأل الله سلامة الله. He says, ومن لا يتعلم فَقَدْ شَابَحَ النَّصَارَى. But the one who does not learn to practice religion is behaving like Christians. No knowledge. So Islam obligates the two. It mandates us to learn, and it mandates us to act upon knowledge. In case they ask you, why is it that you Muslims, your cases are always different? Yes. We learn and follow knowledge. The Jews, they learn, act opposite knowledge. Christians, no knowledge. And that is why they do what they like. The Christians do what they like. Whoever finds anything suitable for himself, for herself, he, she, they do it. Whatever they find suitable. But in Islam, we act in conformance with what? Knowledge. And what is that knowledge? Allahu. قال رسول الله says his messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام. Allah says his messenger عليه الصلاة. So when we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Oh Allah, guide us onto the right path. What we are saying? Allah, make us be able to learn Islam and make us be able to practice Islam. So we explain, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Don't make us be like those who learn and not follow knowledge, or those who don't know at all. So he said, alayhi salatu, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٍ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Not to be like the Jews, and not to be like the Christians. It's now obligatory for us to do what? To learn. So it is this obligation. How then do we learn? We ask. How did the prophet used to teach and how did the companions take Islam from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we said the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a regular practice to sit with his companions in the masjid after Salatul Subhi and after Salatul Asr. We'll explain to them. Allah says we should. Allah says we should. The Prophet says we should. We'll explain to them. Alayhi salatu wasalam. That was what we explained briefly last week. Today, inshallah, what are the manners related to sitting in those gatherings of learning? What are the manners? How do we do it? Say, we Muslims, especially the elders amongst Muslims, we are used to saying to our friends, elders amongst non-Muslims, that our religion, Islam, has explanations for everything in life. There's no aspect in life that Islam does not explain, that Islam does not teach. It remains for us, like we mentioned earlier, to follow before that, to learn what Islam says about that, and then follow what Islam says about that. That is, ask what the Prophet said, alayhi salam, ask what Allah said we should, and then follow what they both enjoin us to do in those circumstances. So the question is, what are the manners? How did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sit? What do they do there? How do they conduct themselves? Alayhim salatu radiyallahu anhu. How did the Prophet and the companions, how did they used to conduct themselves in their majalis, in their sitting of learning? So we say the first manner, the first adab that the person coming to the gathering of learning we will stick to is to have al-ikhlas, sincerity, doing something for the sake of Allah alone. Check the dictionary. What does it mean to say someone is doing something for the sake of Allah? Is doing something to please Allah. So if you want to come to the gathering of learning, seek to please Allah there. My going, I want to please Allah with it. If you come here, come to please Allah. Then we will benefit. We seek to please Allah. Allah will please us too. How? Because He will reward us. But the one who seeks to please other than Allah on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will tell him, those whom you sought to please with those actions, go to them today, seek the reward for your actions. So we should seek to please Allah. It's not only with regards to the learning faculties. It has to do with everything we do as Muslims. We must seek to please Allah. Intention, ikhlas, is 50% of all worship. All worship, 50%. Ikhlas, 50%. All worship, salat, zakat, sawm, hajj, zawaj, tijara, all of it, 50%. Ikhlas, 50%. The one who does any deed without ikhlas is wasting his time, because the deed is useless. But the person who does any deed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if he makes a mistake in that deed, Allah will accept the deed, reward him, and forgive him for his mistake. It means ikhlas, sincerity, is very important when we go to places of learning. So when we leave our homes, we should still investigate that ikhlas. Because shaitan does not allow it to remain as you make it from the beginning. You may be sincere from the beginning, but shaitan, before you get to the place, will spoil your intention. So one will regularly take note of the intention and making sure nothing spoils it. Shaitan will not leave us. Al-Imam Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, One of his students came and asked him, "I am now a shaitan. Does shaitan rest? Does he sleep?" He said, "Rahimahullah, لو نام الشيطان لفرحنا." لو نام الشيطان. لو. If it were possible that shaitan would sleep, لفرحنا. We relax. Because shaitan does not sleep, we cannot relax. We cannot live in tension. And his major duty is to destroy the intention. Make us seek to please other than Allah subhanahu. So we must regularly watch the intention. Not only when we come here, like we say, in everything we do, in your salah, watch your intention. When you are reading out, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, ask yourself why you are reading. Are you reading Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen to please Allah? Or you want to show the awit to someone that, look, I have just learned tajweed. If that's the intention, sorry, it's a bad way, change it. But if the intention is to please Allah, be hopeful and watch it. Because deeds are spoiled before they are performed, while they are being performed, and after they are performed. So even after performing the deed, we are still watching that the intention for performing the deed does not become an intention that nullifies the deed. It is reported that one of the scholars of Sunnah, Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal al-Shaybani, rahimahullah, was on the deathbed. He wanted to die. Terminal illness. Shaitan approached him and said to him, "Futtani ya Ahmad. Ahmad, you have escaped from my hands. You have escaped. I did not catch you." Footstep. The Imam said, as is in the report, "La hatta ba'da al-yawm. La, I have not escaped from you, Shaitan, until after today. That is, when I die, I would have escaped. But before death, nobody has escaped Shaitan. And where he lays siege for us is inside our intention. He knows. No matter 50 rakat, 70 rakat, 90 rakat, 1,000,000 rakat, a person performs. Once the intention is bad, all of the deed is bad." So he walked on the intention. May Allah save us from the torment in the danger of shaitan. How? Watch your intention in everything that you do. So the first thing we have to do when we come to places like this is to make sure that we purify our. Because he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, "Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa faman kanat hijratuhu ila Allah wa rasulihi fahijratuhu ila Allah wa rasulihi wa man kanat hijratuhu lid-dunya yusibuha aw imra'atin yankahuha fahijratuhu ila ma hajara ilayhi." He said, alayhi salam, "Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. Actions will only be rewarded according to their intentions. Innama. No reward will be given for an intention, for a deed, except by the intention with which that deed was done. So if you intend to please Allah, you'll be rewarded accordingly. If you intend to please any other than Allah, taraktuhu wa shirkahu, Allah says, I will abandon you and that deed in which you have done what? You have joined partnership." So shirk, or from the aspects of shirk, is what? Adamul ikhlas. We leave that. We go to the next point. But note this, brothers. Ikhlas is very important. 50% of our deeds. A half, a whole half of deeds. All the deeds, they are connected to ikhlas. When the ikhlas is nullified, is tainted, Allah will not accept the deeds. May Allah accept our deeds and forgive our mistakes. Help us purify our souls. It's a very, very important aspect of our religion. It deserves that it is talked about every time. And Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, when he discussed this hadith is the first hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Hadith al-Ikhlas. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالِ. There are other issues connected to that. Let's go to the second point. Why did Imam al-Bukhari start Sahih al-Bukhari, the hadith of Niyyah, in a chapter that was not connected to Niyyah at all? Badul Wahy, how revelation started to come to the Prophet Muhammad. And he yet started with a hadith about Islam. The ulama say, it is for every reader in who intends to read Sahih Bukhari to be aware that he has to be sincere. That is when you will benefit from Sahih Bukhari. If you are not sincere, you cannot benefit from Sahih Bukhari. If he also is not sincere, he will not benefit from the book. So some of the scholars, like Al-Imam al-Nawawi, said, this is the reason why it is important. Every sitting, every gathering of learning should be started with a reminder, some sort of reminder about Ikhlas. Sincere, doing something for the sake of Allah. Doing something to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very important. Very important. Check it. Check the society. Do people do things for the sake of Allah? Very important. If a person cheats another and thinks he wants to cheat a person, will he do it since he wants to do it for the sake of Allah? Will a person cheat another person for the sake of Allah? So you see, a lot of evils in the community are as a result of people not being sincere, not doing something to please Allah or something. This is the first point. The second point we'd like to look is attending the majlis early, going early, going to time. And ulama refer to that as at-tabkir bil majlis, going early to the majlis. At-tabkir bil majlis could also mean making the majlis occur early in the morning. Bukur. So like we said, the Prophet said in hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he prayed alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. The Prophet said alayhi salam, oh Allah, bless my ummah in what they do early in the morning. Early in the morning. Yoruba, you people say, aro lojo. So when you have important things to do, you fix it in the morning. Cool? Because he said alayhi salam, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Oh Allah, bless my people in what they do early in the morning. So if we want Allah to bless our knowledge early in the morning, well, he himself alayhi salam, he fixes it, he does it, he carries it out at other than the mornings. So the ulama explained the hadith again, that it would mean, oh Allah, bless those of my ummah who hasten towards what they do at its early times. Do we understand? We have a sitting for four. Those who come at its early times. Do you understand? So this evidence from this hadith that you should come early to the sitting. Not only the majalis, salah, you should come early to salah. Everything we seek to do that is from worship, try to be. Make haste, say. Make haste. So what's the name? Don't make ta'akhur. He said, alayhi salat, إِنَّ بَعْضَ النَّاسِ يَتَأَخَّرُونَ حَتَّى يُؤَخِّرُهُمُ اللَّهُ. Some people will be holding back, coming late, until Allah makes them to be from the people of the back. Always. What they do? Late. Hatta yuakhiruhum Allah. They will be making things late, until Allah makes them from the people of behind. May Allah save us from that. So the second adab is from elite. prepare early. Come early to the masjid. Salatul Jummah, come early to the salat. So everything we do that is acts of good deeds, go early. Come early to us. Very important. The third issue about the manners connected to that is coming to the masjid calm. When we are coming, be calm. Don't make haste. You know why? Two reasons. One, coming to the masjid itself as a masjid, going to the masjid itself, the etiquette is to walk down to the masjid calm. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu, إِذَا أَتَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَأْتُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ تَمْشُونَ بِالسَّكِينَةِ وَالْوَقَارِ. He said, alayhi salatu, إِذَا أَتَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ, when you come to the masjid for your salah, فَأْتُوهَا, come for the salah, وَأَنْتُمْ تَمْشُونَ بِالسَّكِينَةِ, sakina, tranquility, while walking tranquilly. Walwaqar and calm. Masjid for salat. It means we have to hasten for salat. If asr is at 4 on the dot, the imam will say Allahu Akbar, and the person starts to make wudu at a few minutes before 4 o'clock, how will he come to the masjid with sakinati walwaqar? With tranquility and calmness. It will not be. So this also supports the second point we raised, that we should make sure we start preparing early enough so that when we are coming, our walk to the mosque will be what? Calm. Will not be in a haste. The sakinati wal waqar. Fa'tuha. Come to the masjid. Wa antum tamshuna. In the circumstance that you are walking. The sakina. With tranquility wal waqar. Wallahi. Our religion is Deen of Ifarabale. When you come to the masjid, no wara wara. Come. First issue. Second issue is, because it is a gathering of learning, it is a place of learning, when it is approached with tranquility and calmness, the mind is not disenchanted. It's not scattered before you get to the place of learning. You are collected. We are collected. Our thoughts are not diversified. You are calm. When you sit down, you are calm. You want to make benefit. Even if it is for 15 minutes, you are calm. And for those who find it difficult to concentrate during salah, they should make the regular practice of trying to leave the home early for salah, such that what they had been doing before the time of salah, their mind will become disconnected from that activity before they come to salah. This is the fourth issue about coming to the gathering. The fourth issue we like to mention. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam one day was seated like this to the companions. Allah sent Jibreel to them. Hi. Imagine as you are seated here, Jibreel comes in. Alayhi salam. How is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel. This hadith has a point of benefit that Allah lost the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. He sent an angel to come with them, come and sit down with them. Jibreel, Malaika, from amongst the Malaika, Malak, from amongst the Malaika, came to sit down with them. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. Jibreel, he came in the feature of a human being. The hadith is lengthy and it has different aspects. When we get to each of the aspects we need, we just pick the hadith. We just pick the aspects we need. When he was coming, this hadith was reported by Omar radiallahu from the Prophet Muhammad. He was a witness to the Badr. بَيْنَمَا نَحْنُ جُلُوسٌ عِنْدَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Once while we were sitting with the Prophet Muhammad, صلى علينا رجل. Suddenly, a man came, a man approached us. How was this man? شديد بياض الثياب. His clothes were sound white. Shadeed, sawad al-shahr. His hair was dark black. La yura alayhi atharu safar. The signs of journeying is not or cannot be noticed on his face. This is the point of reference here. The fourth, when we come to the gatherings of learning, we should be neat. When Jibreel came, he was neat. That was why it was important for Umar to call our attention to that. Shadeed Bayad Siyah, his clothes was neat. Our religion is not the religion that encourages us to be dirty. There's a practice common around here that when you see a man perhaps walking dirty, putting some subha, what do you call it here? Tasbih on his neck and walking, looking, you know, contradicting calmness. He said, maybe it's waliyo. Nah. From the symbols of the awliya of Allah is the anik. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna allaha tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyibah. Allah is neat, beautiful, good. La yaqbalu illa tayyibah. He will not accept anything except that it is what? Good. In the Quran, Allah ordered us. He says, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. Zina, zina. Dress properly when you go to the masjid. Not only to this garden. Salah. If one or many invite any one of us, I'm sure he will not go like this. He will first of all go and dress. I have a special invitation from so and so eminent personality to visit him in so and so eminent location. So I must also look eminent. But when we come to greet Allah in front of Allah, we like to look as we like. Sometimes some Muslims have very nice dresses. They don't wear it to the masjid. If it is jalabiya, they must not change and wear it to the masjid. It is wrong. Yes, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, our lower garments must be up, the best of it, between the knee and the what? The ankle. The best. Neatness must follow that. Neatness must follow that. We must be neat. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was ever neat. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would comb his hair. He will oil his hair. He will wear his cap. He wore clothes that are designed. Here it is. Al-Imam al-Bukhari in Al-Adab al-Mufrad has narrated a hadith from Anas ibn Malik. He said, Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, the daughter of Abu Bakr, brought out a cloth to us and said, look at this cloth. Anas said, we looked at the cloth. And he said, that was one of the clothes of your Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anna said the cloth was blue and filled up at its edges. It was designed. He even described the designs. They are like our embroidery. Alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet wore clothes that are designed. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was neat. He was clean. So when we visit Allah in His masjid, in His house, we must dress neatly. Allah is greater than everything that is great. The masjid is greater than every place that is what? Great. The salah is greater than every activity that is what? Great. So why not then do we dress properly when we come to salah? When Jibreel was coming to see the Prophet, he was neat. Bayad siyah. Shadeed bayad siyah. His clothes was neat. Shadeed. So white. And his hair black. وَلَا يُرَى عَلَيْهِ أَثَرُ السَّفَرِ. The kind of sweating, the kind of dust you see on the traveler was not on his face. So this is one of the ways not only the sittings of learning, salah in the masjid. Perform it like this. So when we come to the masjid, we should dress properly. When we come into the masjid, there are etiquettes to use or to employ. We come into the masjid with our right feet. And we say something very simple. Bismillah. Allahumma iftah li abwaab rahmatik. Simple. Allahumma iftah li abwaab rahmatik. Allahumma iftah li abwaab rahmatik. Allahumma iftah li abwaab rahmatik. Four. Allahumma iftah li abwaab rahmatik. بسم الله اللهم صل على محمد. It, there are other seals, other expressions, other versions of it. Learn one simple one that will teach you completely. اللهم افتح لي ابواب رحمتك. Oh Allah, open for me the doors of your mercy. How is that? If you want to enter into governor's house, say, governor, open for me your treasures. Will they open it to you? Where you keep money in this governor's lodge? Open it, I want to see it. It will not be open to you. But Allah wants you to ask his door of his mercy to be open to you. He don't want to ask. Aisa. The one who does not ask, what has he missed? Tremendous good, of course. So when you come to the mercy, don't forget that zikr. Come in. Come me with the zikr. Bismillah, Allahumma salli. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin. Allahumma aftahli abu adahu. Come into the mosque. Likewise, another etiquette. When you come into the masjid, don't sit down until you have made two rakats of nafil. Any time you come into the masjid. These two units of prayer are called Tahiyyatul Masjid, the two rakats of greeting the masjid, the house of Allah. Follow protocols. So two rakats. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu says, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحْدُكُمُ الْمَسْجِدْ فَلْيَرْكَعْ رَقْعَتَيْنْ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَجْلِسْ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَسْجِدِ. When any one of you comes into the masjid, فَلْيَرْكَعْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ. Let him make two units of prayer, قَبْلَ أَنْ يَجْلِسْ, before he sits. It's an order from the Prophet Muhammad. And we must fulfill that order. So when we come, anytime, after Sufi, after Asr, after Maghrib, anytime you come into the masjid, you want to sit down in the masjid, sit him down. Because it says, قَبْلَ أَنْ يَجْلِسْ. أَنْ يَجْلِسَ, before he sits down, two rakats. Except if it's the time of Salah. And they started the Salah, join the Salah. If they have not started the Salah, start Tahiyyatul Masjid. So we make Tahiyyatul Masjid. That is another etiquette of coming to gatherings, of learning like this. From the etiquette of the gatherings of learning is al-julusu haythu yantahi al-majlis. Sitting where the gathering ends. So if you come when others have sit at the front, don't climb on the people. I'm Baba Adini. You climb on the people from behind to the front. No, don't do that. One of the companions said, رضي الله عنه, since كنا إذا أتينا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, when we go to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, of course to learn, whenever we go to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, جلس أحدنا حيث ينتهي المجلس. Each of us, any one of us, will sit where the gathering ends. If you come, you make two rakats of nafil, sit down there. If you come make to Rakos of National Sudan, no, don't come on the heads of the people. It is prohibited. Don't come. Somebody did that. On the day of Juma, the Prophet ﷺ was making khutbah. The man started coming. He said, sit down. Because you have caused harm to the people. So people start looking like this. It's bad. So when we come, sit where healthy young Tahil Majid. Where the jilfa, where the sitting end, sit there. Also, from the etiquette for sitting in gatherings like this, is at taslimu ila ahlil jilsa, sitting, making taslim to the people who are in the city. So somebody is coming, Abu Fatima says, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We answer you. Wa alaikum assalamu wa rahmatullah. Don't just come and sit down. When you come, say taslim. The Prophet said that, alayhi salam. When you come to the jilsa, say taslim. When you have to leave, say taslim. When you come, say taslim. When you leave, say taslim. Our religion, Islam, every sitting of more is a what, like this, you go to. When you come there, say assalamu alaikum. When you are leaving, say assalamu alaikum. You meet them in peace, you are also leaving them in peace. Our religion, I also say this. Everything is, we are taught how to do it, except when we don't know. May Allah grant us the reward for following these things. Also the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, khayrul majlisi awsa'uha. Khayrul majlisi awsa'uha. The best of the sitting are those that are expanded, large sitting. Large city. Allah has his barakah. Have barakah on it. You have khayr. How? So when a person comes, he can't find a place, we make space for him. He comes, he doesn't find a place, make space for him. As you make space for him, the sitting gets what? Expanded. And the khayr becomes what? More. So when he comes, he doesn't find a place, you make a space for him. From that is also the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has predicted us to sit scattered. Christians in their churches, when they are few, they don't stay together. They stay scattered. Let's say this to them. It is one of the reasons for the disunity amongst them. It is one of the works of shaitan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Thalib al-Khushani, this hadith is reported by Abu Dawud in his Sunan. He said, when we went out to the Prophet and joined, when we sit down, when we settle down during the journey, people sit down scattered. This one is sitting here, the other one is sitting there, the other one is sitting there. Of course, it may appear sensible, but it is not. It is not. A hyena, a beast, could pick somebody who is sitting away. But when we are seated, the hyenas don't near people when they are seated together. But when we are seated away, anything could happen to the one who sat away. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and met them like that, alayhi salatu wasallam, says, "Inna tafarruqakum." هذه it says إن تفرقكم في هذه الشعاب والأودية you're sitting like this في الشعاب you know between two mountains there are valleys and mountain passes in these أودية in these valleys and mountain passes من عمل الشيطان it is from the works of الشيطان إن تفرقكم في الشعاب وَالْأَوْدِيَةِ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ It's from the works of shaitan. He said, for salah, which connects everything we do as Muslims. He says, لَتُصَوُّنَّ صُفُوفَكُمْ أَوْ لَيُخَلِّفَنَّ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ وُجُوهِكُمْ You'd rather strengthen and perfected your role, or Allah will make you to hate yourself. So when we pray in Salah, the roles must be connected. No space must be left. There's a practice that people use the small finger to connect another small finger. It's wrong. The heel must touch the heel. Your heel, my heel. Do you understand? Not small fingers like this. There's space here for Shaitan to speak and come between us. So the Prophet ﷺ prohibited we sitting or us sitting scattered. So we gather, we sit together. This companion, radiallahu anhu, he said we used to sit together such that لَوْ بُسِطَ عَلَيْهِمْ ثَوْبٌ لَأَمَّهُمْ. If a cloth, he said after the Prophet warned us against that, if a cloth, a garment, were used to cover upon all of us, it will come out. Talking about how close, knitted together, that we seated after the Prophet gave us that order. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we come to the gardens of learning, we sit together. So that Shaitan does not come in between us. And so that we would have obeyed the Prophet Muhammad. One day he came from his house and entered the masjid. He saw people seated, scattered. He said, Mali arakum izim. This hadith is in Abu Dawud, it's in Sahih. Mali arakum izim, mutafarrikin. Why have I seen you seated scattered? So Muslims, we don't sit scattered. Christians, they sit scattered for two reasons. One, they don't know. Two, it is from the means by which Shaitan comes in between. And that's why a church doesn't last before a year, 2 years, it will break into two. A church doesn't last 1 year, 2 years, because Shaitan comes in between them. They don't stay together. We Muslims, Salat, together. Jihad, together. Gatherings of learning, together. And what we do physically reflects in the heart. So when physically we are always together, our hearts will be together. When physically we are together, our hearts will be together. When physically we are away, scattered, the hearts will be rendered asunder. May Allah save us from that. Those are from the etiquette of sitting in the gatherings of learning. From the etiquette of that, is that لَا يَجِدُ سُبَيْنَ رَجُلَيْنِ بِغَيْرِ إِذْنِهِمَا. A man, لَا يَجِدُ سُبَيْنَ رَجُلَيْنِ بِغَيْرِ إِذْنِهِمَا. You do not sit between two people without asking for their permission. Look at our religion. Is it that religion that will not permit you to take my property without my permission? When you can't sit between myself and somebody without asking me, will it allow you and me to use up public property? Will it allow you and me to pillage public property? If somebody is a Muslim, and he's a minister, the president, the governor, is anything, if he fears Allah, he will not steal public property. If Islam does not allow a Muslim to sit between two Muslims without asking for their permission, will it allow a Muslim to usurp the property of another Muslim without his permission? That's why it says, it is haram on alaykum ka hurmati yawmikum hadha. It says, inna amwalakum, inna dima'akum wa amwalakum haram on alaykum ka hurmati yawmikum hadha. Your property and your blood, they are sanctified, they are holy between one of your property and blood. If Islam will not allow you to take my property without my permission, will Islam allow you to kill me without right? Wallahi, Islam will not. Wallahi, Islam will not. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Do not take a life that Allah has made holy. Allah made life holy. إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Except with the truth. That's truth. He mentioned it to us. Allah mentioned it. The Prophet explained it. Three instances. a man matured who commits zina. Yes. In the lands where Islam is the rule, understand that along with it, our religion is a religion of order. Understand it. So don't take the life of that person, except in three conditions. And a person who has married, who commits illicit sexual intercourse, we are going to stone that person to death. Not you, not me. Authority will stone that person to death. It's not your work. Authority. So if you have an authority that has a law based on that, authority will arrest you. The second person, an-nafs bin-nafs. Someone kills the person, arrest you. Not you. Not you go and kill a person because that person has killed another person. No! Authority. Because if you do that, that was what was in place during the time of Jahiliyyah, when Islam, before the coming of the Prophet Muhammad. A man will kill another person, his brother will kill that person, the other brother will kill the other person, and killing goes on. Allah says, فَلَا تُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ. Do not waste life. The third condition, Tariqu Dini, the one who abandons his religion. So you see now, authority. Somebody leaves Islam, authority. Not you. Not me. Authority. So when the authority is not there, now you can live for Allah and understand. Allah has not enjoined me with what I'm not authority. You are not authority. So when a Muslim takes the property of another Muslim, when a Muslim takes the life of another Muslim, it is prohibited in Islam. Such that even in the gatherings of learning, you do not sit in between two people except you ask for their. Allah, Islam recognizes people's rights so much. Recognizes people's rights so much. May Allah make us better Muslims. From the tense or from the manners of sitting in the gatherings of learning, istiqbalul mu'allim, facing the person addressing you. Don't pay attention to other than him. Because when you pay attention to other than him, when he mentions the thing, you would not hear. If you hear, you would not understand. If you understand, you misappropriate. Yes, you understood the point, but you put it in the wrong place because you did not pay attention. How did we know we should pay attention? When Jibril came, alayhi salatu wasalam, had jalasa inda nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Jibril sat in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Fa'asnada rukbatayhi ila rukbatayhi. He connected his knees to the knees of the Prophet Muhammad. وَوَضَعَ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَىٰ فَخِذَيْهِ. And he placed his own hands upon the lap of the Prophet Muhammad. وَوَضَعَ كَفَّيْهِ. He, هُنَا جِبْرِيلِ. عَلَىٰ فَخِذَيْهِ. He, هُنَا Muhammad. Some of our scholars say, وَضَعَ كَفَّيْهِ. Jibril placed his own hands, ala fakhidhayhi, on his own lap. No. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari also reported the hadith, and they said, فَوَضَعَ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَىٰ فَخِذَيْهِ نَبِيِّ. Jibril placed his own hands upon the legs of the Prophet Muhammad. Ulama have a lot of points of benefit. Why did Jibril place his hand upon the lap of the Prophet Muhammad? The ulama say, when a teacher teaches his students and he wants to mention an important point of benefit, he can grab the student. Listen. Teacher, how is that? Or touch his head. Listen. The Prophet did that a lot. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The young man who came to the Prophet Muhammad, this hadith is in Musnad Imam Ahmad, who came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, oh Messenger of Allah, allow me to do zina. Yes. Companion, allow me. Prophet said, I will allow you. Because when you say, what kind of question are you? The prophet said, here be Alam. Leave him, allowed man, relax. Alayhi salatu wasalam. I should allow him duty now. Relax. Let him finish. He will hate dinner. So the man says, allow me. The prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. If it were your mother, my mother, I would rather kill the person, every woman who would be a mother. That woman you wanted, that I should allow you, could have been someone else's mother. Your daughter, see, my daughter, and then your sister. See, my sister, I would rather kill. Likewise, for the rest of you. See, but what do I do? How am I going to have this off my mind? The prophet touched his heart, alayhi salatu. He said, afterwards, I hated illicit relations. I hated it. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, the day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam gave him, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika. He called him, Ya Mu'adh. It's from the point of benefit. Because when Jibril starts, he said, Ya Muhammad. So when you want teacher, when you teach, you can call the attention of your students. Abdullah was looking at you. You could still say, Abdullah, look here. You want him to pay attention. If he were near you, you can touch. The Prophet touched Mu'adh. Says, Wallahi, inni la uhibbuka fillah. I swear by Allah, I love you for the sake of Allah. The Prophet said that to Mu'adh. Why he touched him, why he called him, was so that Mu'adh ibn Jabal will do what? Will pay attention. So from the gardens of land could call us. Hey! So that the person could pay attention. Hey brother! Mention his name, Abdullah Abdurrazak, so that that individual would pay attention. Maybe he was dozing. Maybe he was looking the other way. Maybe he was even looking, but he wants to say, look here, you pay attention. So that could happen in the gatherings of men. When it happens, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. People's name, the Prophet will call their name, alayhi salam. For you. There are many hadiths that a companion will narrate and say the Prophet called somebody. That will be the evidence to show that that person was the one directly the Prophet wanted to, that he took particular attention to what he was saying. From the things, from the lessons, in the gardens of learning, is that it is allowed to commence a gathering of learning reading the Quran at its beginning. Reading the Quran at the beginning, it's allowed. So when we want to start, somebody can read Quran to the rest of us, listening to the Quran. The companions used to do that. Al-Imam al-Khatib al-Baghdadi has reported afar on that the Prophet's companions, radiallahu anhu, when they sit, one of them will read the Quran. So opening Quran is sunnah. Opening Quran, it's allowed. I had said it before that it's not allowed, but it's allowed. Alhamdulillah, we have learned another thing, bro. The Prophet's companions would say one of them should read the Quran. Not because we want to give money to that person reading Quran, but because we want to listen to our Lord address us before we start our own address. How is that? We want Allah to address us before we start our own address, before we start our own talks. Let's listen to Allah. Perhaps it will help us throughout the discussion. It will make us have objective discussions when we would have been reminded about Allah's words. So it's allowed. There are narrations. The companions used to do it. Companions, when they sit, say one person, read Quran to us before they come in. Also, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did not cease to say at the beginning of his discussion, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It's not sunnah. It's not correct. If we say it's not sunnah, you may think that we are saying it's allowed, but other than it is better than it. No, it's not allowed. Because Allah has not legislated and approved us to say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم except when we want to read his book. It says, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. When you want to read the Quran, seek refuge from Allah against it. So when you say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ of the people of Wahd, when they come, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, no, it's not allowed. To start a more evil wahdi, don't say أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Because when we hear A'udhu Billah, the next thing we want to hear is Quran, not your own words. Sometimes when people are in meetings, someone wants to speak, he raises his hand, say, Bismillah, talk. He says, A'udhu Billah, in the Shaitan, Rajim, Bismillah, my own opinion is Allah. Don't embarrass us. When you say A'udhu Billah, in the Shaitan, Rajim, we are waiting to hear Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim. If it is in a place where you have to say Bismillah, perhaps at the beginning of a chapter. Otherwise, after saying A'udhu Billahi Sami'il Alim Min Ash-Shaytan Ar-Rajim Min Hamdihi Wa Nafkhihi Wa Nafsi, the next thing we want to hear is what? Ya Ayyuhan Nas, not your own opinion. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyyah mentioned this and said that it is not proper. Sheikh Abu Abdullah Abu Zayd Bakr Ibn Abdullah mentioned it to in Tafsir al-Du'a. That it's not proper for somebody to want to make a statement and he says, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan. What then do we say? What the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. And what is that? Inna alhamdulillahi نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ. Look at this. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله in Al-Majmu', that is Majmu' al-Fatawa. He said that people leave this sunnah and they carry another thing on their head that Allah has not sent them. This khutbatul haja, or simply you say Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulillah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Suffice. If you hear anybody saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, to start a discussion, say, Ustaz, please, this is not sunnah. The sunnah is to say Alhamdulillah. If he says, no, tell him, where did ever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to give a more evil, and then he says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. But it's common. But the fact that a thing is common is not evidence for its correctness. That a thing is common is not evidence for its correctness. The correct thing is to say Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah, or you read the Khutbatul Haja complete. Inna alhamdulillah. This Khutbatul Haja has a story. Imam Dima. The Imam was a man who used to cast jinns off people. When people are possessed, he will exorcise them. During the times of Jahiliyyah, he will read some incantation and the jinn will leave the person. The hadith is in science. So one day he came to the Prophet Muhammad. He came to make Hajj. And he helped him to say that, إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ. The Prophet was a madman. So he thought that I could cast off the spell from him. You understand? So he went to Ya Muhammad. Oh, let me cast off this spell from you. They say that you are a madman. And you know that Allah blesses what I do. Come, let me make a trial. The Prophet said, will you listen to me? Say, yes. Speak. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna alhamdulillah, نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. The man said to the people of Makkah, I have listened to madmen and I have listened to possessed human beings. This one is not possessed. On the spot, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. He accepted Islam. This, what you are saying, is not statement of a madman. So coherent. Certainly, alhamdulillah, all praises, they belong to Allah alone. Nahmaduhu, we praise Him. Wa nasta'inuhu, we seek His help. Wa nastaghfiruhu, we seek His forgiveness. Wa na'udhu billah, and we seek His refuge. Min shururi anfusina, from the soul, evil whispers of our souls. Wa min sayyi'ati a'malina, and from the wrongdoings of our actions. Man yahdihi Allah, anyone that Allah has guided. فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ, nobody can misguide. وَمَنْ يُطْلِي, anyone Allah lives inside his guidance. فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ, no one to guide him. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, he was moved, he accepted Islam. If we say this and explain it, as you would say in your language, أُتُنِوَا خُطْبَةُ الْحَاجَ is sufficient admonition. Khutbatul Haja itself, wallahi, my brother, is sufficient admonition for you, for me, for the listener. I wish that each time we say it, we should remember what Allah is saying. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum. O you who believe, fear Allah as Allah ought to be feared. And do not die except that you are Muslims. Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind. And then he starts with, Inna khalaqnakum min zakarin wa unsa. He created you from one male one female. And he starts. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَمِ. Like that. So the sunnah is not أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ to start a mawdu. It is what? الحمد لله. إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. That also applies to khutbah on the day of Jum'ah. The Prophet does not come on the khutbah and start saying, A'udhu Billah. La. From the practice on the day of Jum'ah that many of the people are engaged in is that when they make dua, they raise their hands. The Prophet doesn't raise his hands during the Jum'ah to make dua. He raises the finger like this. Sometimes pointing it down. He raises it, not like this. So all the people say, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. They should not raise their hands, but they don't know. How many times have we prayed in masjid for the day of Jum'ah when the imam is making dua and people say, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. And they raise their hands. The imam too raises his hands. But they are wrong. Like we said at the beginning, our religion emphasizes knowledge and following knowledge. Also, let me quickly mention three issues, inshallah. I will be a bit faster. أخذ المستمي. Taking مستمي عروة is from Sunnah. Do we know? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once making khutbah. And as he spoke, Ali radiallahu anhu will draw his wasi. But he did that on Hajjatul Wida, his farewell pilgrimage. And we knew how many of them made that Hajj. They were over 100,000 people. According to Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, he says, when I look at the horizon, I saw heads. So when I look back, heads, left heads, right heads. So when we have a congregation very large, and we have one person speaking, and perhaps there are no microphones like this, it is allowed for al-mustamli, what are they called? Al-mustamli, to say what the speaker says, he will say. what the speaker says. In the history of Islam, there are circumstances where people have as much as 7 mustamloon. This one will say, the other one will say, the other one will say. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he read Sahih al-Bukhari to 90,000 people. Today, 90,000 people, it is football they are watching. Bukhari, in a city, he will say, حَدَّثَنَا حَدَّثَنَا قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ 90,000 people are listening to him. Today, 90,000 is football. So it is mustamnoon. They are the ones that will be doing what, reverberating what he says. He will say something, they will say it. He will say something, they will say it. So when we go to sittings of wa'z, if there is microphone, there is no need for mustamnoon. If there's no microphone, or the microphone goes bad, and the rest of the people can't hear, then the mustamli comes up. Because our Sharia considers the circumstance of everything. The Prophet did that in the circumstance when he was speaking to over 100,000 people. So if we have a condition like that, the same thing Imam, Mubali. Imam says, Allahu Akbar in Salah. The other people there do not hear him. No microphone and all that. The people who hear him should do what? Should say what the Imam says. It's sunnah in that sense. Because it also happened to the Prophet Muhammad with Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. But our religion wants us to put square pegs in square holes, not square pegs in round holes. So it's not necessary if you hear my voice over there. But if the people are not hearing, it's allowed to have a Muslim. Let's mention something and laugh a little bit. Al-Imam Yazid ibn Harun, he had a Muslim. He had an Arawa. I don't know what I would call that in English now. Muslim. Someone announcing his word. Announcer. Announcer, right? So Yazid ibn Harun, rahimahullah, was narrating hadith. And he says, حَدَّثَنَا عِدَّةٌ يعني جَمَاعَةٌ حَدَّثَنَا عِدَّةٌ A group of people narrated to us. The Mustamli heard that and says, قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا عِدَّةٌ And he asked him, عِدَّةٌ إِبْنُ مَنْ And he answered, عِدَّةٌ إِبْنُ فَقَدْتُكَ That is, حَدَّثَنَا عِدَّةٌ A group of people related the hadith to us. So he thought, Iddatun is the name of an individual. So he asked him, Iddatun ibn man. He said, Iddatun the son of who? He said, Iddatun ibn Fakotuka. He said, Iddatun the son of, I have lost you. Because he was not following him again. If we were following him, he would have known that Iddatun was talking about Jama'atun and not Iddatun by way of mentioning the name of an individual. So he says, Haddatana Iddatun. He said, Iddatun Ibn Umar. He said, Ibn Fakotuka. I have lost you because you were lost in thought. Many of the so-called Arawas spoiled the Wasis. Many of the so-called Arawas spoiled the Wasis. They say what the man has not said. So when you appoint an arawasi, when you appoint an admonition announcer, appoint someone who is conscious, who is vast, who is familiar, who is, you know, attentive, not the one who is lost in his in the dungeons of his own thoughts. The second to mention before we stop. Allah yaqul al-majlis. The sitting should not be extensive. What, 2-3 hours? Shaitan will come there. I tell you, Al-Imam al-Zuhri, rahimahullah. He wants. He says, when the mawidah, when the majlis gets extensive, yakunu li-shaytanu fihi nasib. Shaitan will have a role in this. So don't take us, don't engage us from 4 o'clock to 7:30, 9:00. God, don't. Make it brief. خير الكلام ما دل ما قل ودل. The best of speeches. That speech is قل. Brief. Concise. وَوَدْ دل. And penetrating. Clear. Unambiguous. When you start talking, sometimes people find out, you know, what is he saying? they don't know. Many times we go to khutbah, we go to Juma for khutbah, you try to ask yourself, what is the imam saying today? What is he saying? And there are a lot of issues to say. Wallahi, there are a lot of issues, my brothers. In this, our religion, from day one till we die, there are things we are talking about. Wallahi. So why is it that when we go to a we are wondering, what are they saying? Those who are reading the Quran are reading it badly. And now, more Islam has become like an entertainment. Yes, when people have a 40-day ceremony and marriage ceremony, they go and call one person from Lagos, come and entertain us. When you talk, they're like, ah, when you talk, they're like, ah. More Islam that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will give and his eyes will be red. I feel he was telling the people, look, tomorrow is war with some people. The place of learning is not the place of laughing jackass, as we used to say. But you could mention some things that will relieve the people. It will calm them, and then they can continue. Because when the person pays attention for an hour, he perhaps requires something that will just calm him down a little bit. Yes. But when it becomes that the person himself is invited to be able to entertain us, it is something else. Don't go to those kind of gatherings. They said, one Buhari, the son of Muslim, is coming. Don't go. It's not more easily we hear. It is ifsad. The last thing we'll mention is, when we finish a majlis and we like to go, we should say kafaratul masjid. What is kafaratul masjid? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. Look at, we started with alhamdulillah, we are ending with استغفرك واتوب اليك, because this teaching I might have committed mistakes, errors, forgive me, oh Allah, because it's an act of worship. It's an act of worship. We like to stop here, inshallah. I'm sure we have not made istiab. We have not covered all what is required. But as we go on, when things happen, we mention it, inshallah, so that each and every one of us will benefit. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this gathering beneficial to us, both the speaker and the listener. And those who are not here, who wish to be here, may Allah make it beneficial to them. أَقُولُ مَا أَقُولُ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. If there are questions, we'll try to give answers to them, inshallah. When we don't have answers, we'll say we don't have answers. Bismillah.
My question is pertaining to the aspect of the Azan. So, compared to the community that in the aspect of Azan, since the microphone, we don't need to perform to go out again and call the Azan.
Some of the people say, since there are microphones, there's no need for the Muslims to go out to make Azan. The Sunnah of Azan, that question is premised on the fact that Azan should be made outside the Masjid on an elevation. The person who wants to make Azan should go on something, make the Azan. Two things. The people will see him, and then they will hear him. Two reasons. The people will see him, and then they will do what? They will hear him. What the microphone does is just one of them. People will hear him, but they will not see him. So the use of microphone does not preclude, does not foreclose the individual, the muadzin, going out to stand to call the adhan in a place where the people in the community will be looking at him and say, oh, that man is calling us to Allah. He does not foreclose it. If it is reason that it forecloses it, then only one reason for coming out is being looked at. The two reasons are not being satisfied. Do we understand? Aba Bilal. Alaykum salam.
Today, again, one of the
when you came
in, you have to take a seat.
Do we understand this question? Last week we said the hadith of those three people who came into the masjid. The hadith of who? Who narrated that hadith? Abu Waqid Al-Laysi. Abu Waqid Al-Laysi. Radiallahu anhu. So when the second person only found his case, istahya, fastahya Allahu minhu, he was shy. And that was why. The correct explanation of that he was shy was the explanation given by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar. That istahya means he was shy of behaving like the other person. فَاسْتَحْيَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ. So Allah is also shy of treating him like he would treat the other person. So understand this and bring it to the fact that he starts where the jinn star ended. So there's no blame on him. Do you understand? So the hadith, the two narrations are not contradictory. استَحْيَ فَاسْتَحْيَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ. He was shy of behaving like the other person. فَاسْتَحْيَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ. And therefore, Allah was shy of treating him as he treated the one who turned away. Because the one who turned away, Allah turned away from him too. Do we understand? So the two narrations are not a contradiction. Alexa, him first. Do we understand? When the first hadith says, Najlis haythu yantahi al-majlis, the companion say, we sit where the Jusa ends. But when Jibril came, he was coming. Alayhi salam. In the riwayah of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu in Sunan Abi Dawud, Jibril stood by the door. Say, Ya Muhammad, A'adnu? Oh Muhammad, should I come near you? He said, Udnu, come. Alayhi salam. So if we have somebody who has to come, who seeks permission to come, we can allow him to come. Jazakallahu khair. Zadakallahu hirsa. So he was doing that. He asked three times. The Prophet was sitting on a place that was made for him higher than the rest of the companions. And there was a rug on it. Those who may think that Islam does not allow us to use rugs. There was a rug. He was asking, when he entered from the door, when he got before climbing on the rug, he asked again, A'adnu, should I come close? The Udnu, come. Before he climbed on the rug of the Prophet Muhammad. So, and when he came near him, he asked the third time. He said, sit down. That was when he sat down in his front. So if we have somebody who has to come in front, he has a role to play, he has something to do, he has a statement to pass, he has a comment to pass, he has a question to ask, he can tell him to do what? Come. Keeping pictures. We will be addressing these issues, inshallah, one after the other. But simply put, it's not allowed. It's not allowed. It's not allowed. But to address it, another thing. Alaykum salam. Do we understand the question? Simply put, it is one of the things we learn, framing questions. The question is simply, three people came into the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One returned, went away. The other one sat down. And the other one sat came close and sat near. So they didn't mention that they made tahiyyat in the masjid. So why do we have to make tahiyyat in the masjid? Is that a question? Do we understand? It's one of the evidence those who say Tahiyyat al-Masjid is not obligatory. This hadith of the three people who came into the masjid is one of the evidences they bring. But the ulama replied that it has not been mentioned that they made Tahiyyat al-Masjid. It's not evidence that they did not make Tahiyyat al-Masjid. Because the person who was reporting the hadith was reporting what was important to him in the hadith. And what was important to him in the hadith is that three people came, they sat down, they did as was mentioned. It was not his area, it was not, he didn't pay attention to whether the issue is concerning Tahiyyatul Masjid. Do we understand? So a narration that has Ibham, that is not clear regarding a particular ruling, is not giving preference or should not be taken in preference for the one that clearly mentions a ruling regarding a matter. Do we understand? Here he says, any of you who comes into the masjid should not sit down till he makes Tahiyyatul Masjid. Do we think that the companions, radiallahu anhu, will come into the masjid and not make Tahiyyatul Masjid? If they didn't make it, he would tell them to stand up and make Tahiyyatul Masjid. Like it happened one day while he was making khutbah. Somebody came in and he was coming, said, have you made Tahiyyatul Masjid? He said, stand up and make Tahiyyatul Masjid. Do we understand? So that it was not mentioned in the hadith of the three people that they made Tahiyyatul Masjid, it's not evidence that Tahiyyatul Masjid was not made. Somebody who does not have wudu, if he wants to sit in the masjid, should make wudu before coming into the masjid, so that he can make Tahiyyatul Masjid. Do we understand? The last question. Because we have to leave by 6 o'clock. You ask. Ask. If somebody was in the masjid, like as we are seated, he goes out for a need and returns to the masjid, can he return to his place of sit? Yes. وَهُوَ أَحَقُّ بِهِ. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he has a greater right over it than any other person. In fact, I can tell the person sitting, please stand up, this is my seat. Yes. The Prophet said he has a greater right, alayhi salam. Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, he said this is evidence that if you have a store or you have a place you stay in a market, any person who stays there, when you go, you can tell him to go away. Ibn Hajar said this in Fathul Bari regarding this hadith. That if you have a place you stay in a market, as Sun'ani mentioned it of him too in Sulul Salam. You have a place to stay in the market. This is my place. And a person comes and stays there, you can tell, please go away. This is my place. So likewise, in the masjid, if you are sitting in a place, you leave and go out for a need, you can come back to that place. In that sense, climbing the heads of the people is not an issue. The only thing is, we beg you to be mannerly with us. Look for the easiest route for you to get to your destination. La barara wa la birara. As we would not like to cause you harm by making you lose your space, you should not also cause us harm by bringing about distraction, climbing on our heads. La barara wa la birara. Let's stop here, Akhil Karim. I promise you next week, inshallah. May Allah keep us till then. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa.